I'm here.
Thank you for joining, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thanks to all the devotees.
Today we have good fortune of having His Grace Shamik Rishi Prabhu, and he will be enlightening us on Bhagavatam 4th Canto, Chapter 6 and Verse 46. Prabhuji, please take over the call. Thank you,
Prabhuji. Accept humble obeisances and thanks everyone for joining this Japa session and Bhagavatam class. So we'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 6, text number 46 to 49. So one can please open the book because there are some long purports and we can explain those in a simple terms. So please open it. So please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishtaya bhutale shimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paashyatya deshtarine sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this text number 46. Navai Satantva Charanarpitatmanam Bhuteshu Sarveshvabhi Pashyatam Tava Bhutani Chatmanya Prathag Didrashyatam Prayena Roshobhi Bhavedyatha Pashum. Translation, my dear Lord, devotees who have fully dedicated their lives unto your lotus feet certainly observe your presence as Paramatma in each and every being, and as such they do not differentiate between one living being and another. Such persons treat all living entities equally. They never become overwhelmed by anger like animals who can see nothing without differentiation. Purport. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes angry or kills a demon, materially this may appear unfavorable, but spiritually it is a blissful blessing upon him. Therefore, pure devotees do not make any distinction between the Lord's anger and his blessings. They see both with reference to the Lord's behavior with others and themselves. A devotee does not find fault with the behavior of the Lord in any circumstances. Om Agyanti Mirandashya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kan राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये नमो महावदनाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतुषे नमः. सो दिस फोर्थ चैप्टर ब्रह्मा सैटिस्फाइज लॉर्ड शिवा. सो Lord Shiva becomes very angry when his wife Sati gave up her body in the sacrificial arena of Daksha Prajapati. So then the demigods, to appease Lord Shiva, they go to Mount Kailash. So there is a description of Mount Kailash. So demigods, they approach Lord Brahma for the help, and then along with the Brahma and all the demigods, they go to Lord Shiva's place where he was in meditation, or where he was there. So there is a beautiful description of Mount Kailash and all the varieties of birds, plants, herbs, animals, demigods, and also the Alka region was also being described, that how the forest, Saugandhika forest and Nanda and Alaknanda rivers, so there the description and how the demigods, they enjoy on those forests. And then there is darshan of Lord Shiva, that they see Lord Shiva, that Shiva was sitting under a banyan tree. She was sitting very gravely under the banyan tree in this particular asana, virasan. He had Tarka Mudra and he was surrounded by Kumaras, Kuver, Narad, and so many sages were there. So seeing Brahma, Lord Shiva, he offers him respects. And then Brahma, he is glorifying Lord Shiva and petitions him. So Brahma is saying that you create this universe, the system of sacrifice and varnashram. So he is comparing in these verses that we will be reading also to Lord Vishnu or Narayan or Krishna himself, that Shiva's position is just shiram yathadati vikara vishesha yogat. Just like milk is changed into yogurt. So Lord Shiva, there is not much differentiation that we should really think as a that Shiva and Krishna are different. But we should not think of Shiva to be independent of Lord Krishna. It is both are together. So the same thing, so they are describing, like Lord Brahma himself is describing, that you create this universe. Yes, it is true. Yes, Shambhu Tamapi Tatha Samupaiti Karyat. So all the work is done by Krishna, does not come directly in touch with the Prakriti or Mat Tattva. So all this creation is done by Lord Shiva himself. The system of sacrifice in Varnashram that is created by you, you ordain various destinations. So in this way, so now this 46 verse that we are reading, that is being taught. So system is created by you, the destination. So the devotees are asking that you ordain the destination of Swarga or liberation, Vaikuntha, impersonal Brahman for the pious people. Then you create the hell for the impious people. And also, but why do you do the opposite to the some people? Like somebody you are killing, somebody you are giving them benediction. Why it is so? Why this differentiation is so? So they are describing that for you, Lord's killing, Lord's not having favor is also the same, because Lord has no envy. In material world, practically everybody is envious of others' progress, but Lord is not envious to his own jiva souls. If they progress, he becomes very, very happy. So he does it sometime to punish. That is also his benediction. Like Lord Krishna punished the Putna, but he gave the liberation of his own mother. She became a dhai in the spiritual kingdom. So there is no limit to Krishna's compassion for us, or Krishna's mercy for us, or his seeing the jiva soul as his own part and parcel. So in this way, Krishna is a Bhavagrahi Janardhan, but also he is very, very liberal for his jiva soul, and he his punishment, like a mother punishes sometime a child for some operation, but that's for the benefit of the child. Child may not understand. He may think that my mother is cruel. Same thing, we may think that God is not very merciful, but he is very, very merciful to us. So this is the talk. So why is the, now Lord Brahma is asking that why Daksh is a pious man. He knows the religious principles. He has been made the Daksh Prajapati, means he is the chief of all the Prajapatis. And he is following Yajna and doing it. So why you have killed him, or why he was killed? So why should pious Daksh die like this, and impious Ajamil, he was all life, he gets liberation. So Brahma seemed to blame Lord Shiva, but now he clarifies that Shiva's punishing Daksha is not due to his anger, but that is also a mercy. So he could come to his senses and not become envious. So that is the Kaimuttika Nyaya. Kaimuttika Nyaya means by putting some example, that you could give the example, like you create the example that Shiva is putting him down like he has been killed. But that killing is not really out of envious nature, but he is very merciful, and he gave him so that his mentality of envious nature goes away. So now they are praying that please spare sinful Daksha who is influenced by the Maya. So any surrendered devotee, they do not become angry with other beings because they observe presence of Paramatma in everyone. And thus they do not differentiate among living beings. Only the animals become angry. So devotees do not become angry. How could you become angry? That question may be asked. So there is no difference between the Lord's anger or on the demons and his blessings on the devotees. Because both are blessings on a spiritual level. Both are being blessed, whether it is demon being punished or a devotee being given the benedictions. but both are on the same level because both gets ultimately association with Krishna and go back to Krishna's abode. Just like Nal Kuver and Manigreve, they were cursed to become two trees in Krishna's backyard. And Krishna was every day seeing and playing with the trees and seeing them. And they could also observe Krishna's childhood activity, which is not very easily obtained. Even Brahma could not get the dust of the feet of the Lord Krishna. So here they are getting the dust and they are walking around the tree. The Krishna, he stopped his grinding mortar and pulled those trees, and they become purified of their sinful activity, of their enjoying propensity, because we are not the material body. We have this, so we have to differentiate between Kshetra and Kshetragya. In 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, these are very clearly defined. So up to 6th chapter, there is Karma Yoga. Second, 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they are Bhakti Yoga, because they are protected from Jnana and Karma, and then the last 6 chapters are Krishna elaborates them more and more about the Jnana Yoga, knowledge. Knowledge is like a light, and wherever there is a light, darkness cannot remain. Krishna, Surya Sam, Maya Hai Andhakar, Jahan Krishna, Tahar Nahi, Maya Radhikar, Maya cannot come. So this avidya means darkness. That is the cause of our staying in the material world. And so in just the first couple verses of this Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter that has been described, I will just read little bit. Prakritim purusham chaiva kshetra kshetragyam eva cha etad veditum icchami gyana gyanam geya cha keshava. O Keshava, prakritim purusham chaiva. That prakriti, about the prakriti and purush, the field of activity, what is prakriti, what is purush. Prakriti is the field of activity. Just like we do field of activity, just like we grow some seeds, we put seeds. And then the seeds, they grow in a field. So all that activity that is happening in the field and our own growing the seeds, that is all field of activity. But field and the kshetra and kshetra, the knower of that field is different. Just like our eyes see something. Our eyes see all the that there is so much going on in the material world. So the first our impression about the material world, that is the kshetra, is through the eye. Then other, we think of our mind. So netra is, but sometimes eyes may be defective. We may see less, we may see maybe color blind. So the netra are seen. So all this, so the seen and the seer, these two are different. One, what we see, and the seer is different. But the seer of all the like say by the ear we hear, or by the eyes we see, or by the nose we smell, but those nose are also becomes to be seen by the mind, and mind is seen by intelligence, and intelligence is seen by the soul. So ultimately soul is responsible. We have really in effect we have nothing to do with the field of activity. Our field of activity is the spiritual kingdom in relation to Krishna. We are his part and parcel. Jiva soul is Mamai Vanshu Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are a part and parcel of Krishna. So our activity is in the spiritual kingdom. But somehow due to attachment we become that me and mine. This is me, means I am the body. So rather than idam, Krishna say idam means you just see that this field is different. Idam means it is a diff. So he is differentiating between him, Kshetragya, and Kshetra. Kshetra is the field, so it's differentiating, but somehow we don't differentiate. We just like somebody is a rich man, he is called Dhanwan. But riches may go away, but still the man is still the same. Man is not changed. So Dhanwan, Vidwan, Rupwan, these all designations may be there, but even after going the designation or designations go away, still the person remains the same. So all this, our field of activity may go away, it does not, and it always changes, it never remains the same. Field of activity is every moment it is changing. You cannot see the same thing again what you have seen in the past. You may try enough, but the scene is different from many angles or from many points of view. So material world is constantly changing, but spirit soul is the same. And soul, nobody sees the soul except when one understands that I am part and parcel of Krishna. So we have to understand that I am part and parcel of Krishna. This material world, at this time, because I am in the material world, it is filled up my activity. But I should act in such a way that I don't have to, I detach my relationship with this field and go back home, back to Godhead. And so now these demigods are there. They are utilizing Lord Shiva. They are praying to the Lord Shiva that please benedict him. You have given benediction to Ajamil that at the end he came back home, back to Godhead. And also this Daksha has also performed certain pious activity. So please take care of him. Please forgive him. And so that way we could continue with our yajna and finish whatever has been started. So all the demigods, they get their share in this yajna, and you will also be getting the share. But they are praying to him as if he is the Supreme Lord, and there is no differentiation. We should not differentiate between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna or Narayan. And so that has been described that a devotee does not find fault with the behavior of the Lord in any circumstances, whether he is benedicting him or whether he is angry. His anger is also the same like benediction. So we'll read the next verse, text number 47. Prathagdiyah karma drasho durashaya parodaye narpi tarhadrujao nisham paranduruktair vitudantya runtuda tanma vadhi deva dhana bhavadvidah. Persons who observe everything with differentiation, who are simply attached to fruitive activity. Differentiation we observe with differentiation because we are result, this will please me. So different people have different tests that they have developed by associating with those things in different modes that we are. So we differentiate with differentiation who are simply attached to fruitive activity. We grow the food in the field just to enjoy. So we work in the field, and this field are field means which thus shay, the field of activity, kshetra. Kshetra means there are, kshetra means a field, kshetra also that which diminishes every time, which changes every time. Just like shay means which is diminishing, shayro. Our TB used to be called shayro. And akshay means which never diminishes. So we are part of the akshay, we never change, we never diminish, the spiritual world never changes. But there is so much variegatedness, much more than what we see many, many times. It is the original form, the material world is just a reflection of the original in the spiritual world. Just like upside down tree we see in the river, bank of the river. And we cannot enjoy if there are so much sweet mangoes are growing on the tree and we could see the reflection in the water, but we cannot enjoy those fruits. Even if you try as much as hard you can, we cannot. So the material world, we cannot enjoy. You may say, I'm enjoying, I'm feeling, but this is just with association, it's temporary. But enjoyment is, one is never satiated in the material world. We always feel hungry, want more, and the same thing which was giving us pleasure becomes a cause of our distress. So why to engage in and spend our time in such a place which will give us suffering at the end? So better that we use those propensity what we have, same time period or what we are spending in service to the Lord, and become a real part of Krishna, not separated. We have separated Krishna from us, and that is the cause of suffering. And so so persons who observe, this is again the translation, everything with differentiation, who are simply attached to the fruitive activity, who are, this is mine, this is somebody else, this is me and mine. Our main problem that we create in the material world, that this is me, means this is me, means what, and mine, means extension of the body is mine, and so I am the material body, I am the senses. So there are grass body, subtle body, karana body, so these all are external to the soul. Soul has nothing to do with this. But we have done tadamyata. Tadamyata means we just attach, just like a kosh, like say there is a sword, maybe in a leather bag. So we call it a myan. Myan means where the sword is kept in a leather bag. So same thing we have talked about this, our leather bag. means manomaya kosh, gyanmaya kosh, vigyanmaya kosh, this pranamaya kosh, anandamaya kosh. So we are covered with so many layers of covering. And that's why we are kept into the material world, separate from Krishna, but we are part of Krishna and we have nothing to do with this leather bag. So, mean-minded people who are always pained to see the flourishing condition of the others and who does give distress to them by uttering harsh and piercing words have already been killed by providence. So, these kind of people, they have already been by their resultant destiny, they are already been killed. Thus, there is no need for them to be killed again by an exalted personality like you. So, they have already been killed because he spoke, Daksha spoke some harsh words to you. He demeaned you. He did not recognize your position out of envy. That why he did not stand up when Daksha Prajapati came. He was the chief and he is his son-in-law also. So that way, but just by his harsh words he is already killed. Means we do any wrong activity, we are already gone down. We are already, somebody may not take those words. So that will come back to us. So it is applied to us. If we try to hurt or damage somebody, we are already damaged automatically just by our own wording, by our own action. So the same thing that here that they are saying that, so please don't kill him again. He was killed, means Lord killed, so they wanted him to revive. He is already killed, he is dead. His Virbhadra, energy of the Lord Shiva that he produced from his hair, putting on the ground, he revived, he created a demigod by name Virbhadra and he killed the Daksha Prajapati and they are requesting him to please make him alive. That is the purport, that he has already been killed by his harsh words, so why to kill him again? So purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing, persons who are materialistic and always engaged in fruity activity. Fruity activity means for the fruits that we want to grow and enjoy ourselves, enjoy by our senses. You do any activity, this activity is meant for Krishna. Activity is not for us. You may say that how we will survive, that is Krishna's arrangement because fruits are given by Krishna. So he is the bhokta, bhoktaram, yagyatapasam, sarvaloka maheshwaram. He is the enjoyer. He is the creator of everything. He is the Mahaishwar's controller of this and he is our real well-wisher. So if we understand these four things, naturally we could be liberated from this material bondage. So we should not try to enjoy the fruits of our hard work. This hard work is meant, fruity activity means activity for the fruits with the intention to enjoy them. That all the fruits are meant for serving Krishna. So this kind of people, the persons who are materialistic, or wants the results of the fruits, they cannot endure seeing the flourishing life of others. They become envious that how he is enjoying so much, why not me? Except for a few persons in Krishna consciousness, the entire world is full of such envious persons who are perpetually full of anxieties because they are attached to the material body and are without self-realization. Self-realization means that I am part of Krishna. And I am meant for Krishna's service. I am not this body. I am the spirit soul. Mame Mansa, I am the spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi does not mean Aham Param Brahmasmi. I am just Brahma, part and parcel of Krishna. And then his activity start on that level when he realized that he is not this material body. So since their hearts are always filled with anxiety, it is understood that they have already been killed by providence. Continuously all the time mind is boggling, mind is covered, all the time they are in anxiety. So they are already dead, even living, but they are not just breathing like, so sometime like in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam just say that the breathing is not sign of life because bellows also breathe, trees also live, the rivers also flow. So all these things that are there in the nature, the life means service to Krishna. Attaching to Krishna, acting for Krishna, because we are his part. So thus Lord Shiva is a self-realized Vaishnava, was advised not to kill Daksha. A Vaishnava is described as para-dukha-dukhi. Vaishnava jante tene kahiye je peer parai jane re. One who knows the suffering of others is a real Vaishnava. And he tries to elevate the suffering, not just temporary suffering of roti, kapda, makan, but he relieves their suffering forever in one stroke by giving them Krishna consciousness. They give up this mentality to enjoy the material world, and they become eligible to go back home and enjoy with Krishna, which is our real place, which is where we belong to, and we could go just by understanding the difference. So, paradukha dukhi, that is Vaishnava, because although he is never distressed in any condition of life, he is distressed to see others in a distressed condition. Vaishnavas, therefore, should not try to kill by any action of the body or mind, but should try to revive the Krishna consciousness of others out of compassion for them. That is real compassion. Means in the life, there are three things that Jivedaya is giving them Krishna consciousness. Not just solving their temporary problem. You may give, say, food, they will be hungry again. You may give them clothing, they will be torn. How long you can repair? And they have to take so many material bodies one after another, and you cannot be there in all the bodies, but you could help them forever, eternally, by making them Krishna conscious. That's where Prabhupada's compassion comes, that is reviving consciousness of every living being, so they become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead, in service to Lord Krishna, established in our real position. So, Krishna consciousness movement has been started to deliver the envious persons of the world from the clutches of Maya. And even though devotees are sometimes put into trouble, they push on the Krishna consciousness movement in all tolerance. Lada Chaitanya says, Tranadapi sunichena taro iva sahishnona amanina manadena kirtani sadahari. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This is the only way we should wear the garland of these words while we chant her all the time. That should be there. Amanina manadena. That we should give respect to all others, but should not be like thinking of the respect, why they are not respecting me, why they are not putting in a high position. So then naturally, if you are in that way looking for something external, not what you are really, then it would be a problem to advance further in Krishna consciousness. A Vaishnava should follow the examples of such Vaishnavas as Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu. And also, although Jagai Madhai was beating Nityananda Prabhu, or also they were running behind Haridas Thakur, or Haridas Thakur was like a prostitute was sent to him to put him down, but they did not mind all these things. They tolerated everything on behalf of the Lord. Same thing also Lord Jesus Christ. There is no need to kill anyone who has already been killed, but it should be noted herewith that a Vaishnava should not tolerate the blaspheming of Vishnu or Vaishnavas, although he should tolerate personal insult to himself. So little bit we will talk about what these Vaishnavas are and what is their condition, what they do. So I will give some verses about the Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Tattva. See, there are Pancha Sanskar. Pancha Sanskar means Tap, Pundra, Naam, Mantra and Yag. So there are many different, but who is a Vaishnava, what is this, so and what kinds of Vaishnavas? So Archayam eva haraye yah pujam shraddhaye hate na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrate smraha. That they have faith in the Archa Vigraha, but do not have faith in devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are not really merciful to the other jiva soul, so they are Kanishta Bhaktas. Kanishta means the lowest level. There is Madhyam Bhaktas, they are Ishwara. I'm just talking about Vaishnava Tattva. This is mostly written in Gaudiya Kantahar. There is a book that has been collection of so many verses in this Gaudiya Kantahar. Means that should be like a garland of verses in Gaudiya Vaishnava literature. Gaudiya Vaishnava are the only one which is started from Madhendra Puri Radha Krishna worship, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued that and same Siddhanta, which, and then in his parampara we are also following what Prabhupada has given. That is the most purest form of all the sum and substance, all the Vedic literature. And if we just study those Gaudiya Vaishnava literature and follow the rules and regulation, it is the fastest way of going back home, back to Godhead and becoming free, rather than remaining something, doing something nice. And so Jivadaya, that I was telling, there is a Vaishnava Seva, that Vaishnava should never be blasphemed or hurt, but they should be served. And Name Ruchi, we should develop our taste. If we could just do these three things, and that according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we could be free from this material entanglement. So we talked about who is the Kanista Bhakta. Then the Madhyam Bhakta, that he loves Krishna and he develops, he serves him. Love means service. Bhakti means service. And then we have friendship with the Vaishnavas, and then one who is lower or who are not Vaishnavas, that we do not, we try to give them Krishna consciousness. So sometime a person who is on a Paramhansa stage, they come down because the Paramhansa Vaishnava thinks himself very, very low. He says that I am the lowest of mankind, I cannot give. Out of like so much like humility, they don't think that they know more, or they don't even differentiate between somebody who is envious and somebody who is neutral to shower their mercy, or who would be so Madhyam Bhaktas are the one who preaches. And then the topmost devotee that is given is, so Ishware tadadhanineshu balisheshu dushatuya prema maitri karpa apeksha ya karoti sa Madhyam. So this is the definition of Madhyam Adhikari. And then one who is on topmost, Sthavar Jangam Dekhe Na Dekhe Tar Murti Sarvate Spuriye Tar Ishtadev Spurti. One who is always looking Mahabhagavat, they don't see what is Sthavar, it is Gangam. They see it is all, they don't see the form, outer form, but they see always Krishna in everything, because everything is the energy of the Supreme Lord. So they see everything as a part and part, whether it is a material nature, a spiritual nature, whoever, it is all part of Krishna, and they are very, very merciful. So in this way there is a differentiation between the Vaishnavas. And so Krishna himself says that Aham Bhakta Paradhino hi Asotantra Iva Dvija Sadhubhir Grasta Hradayo Bhaktair Bhakta Janapriya. So this is to Durvasa Muni, Lord Krishna is saying that I am Bhakta Paradhin. Dear Brahman, Sadhugan, that Vaishnavas, I am in their heart, and in their heart I am there, and in my heart they are there. So they have already ruling my heart. I am not independent. Sadhavo hrdayam mayam sadhunam hrdayam tuham madanyatena jananti naham tebhyo managapi. So for those devotees like Mahabhagavat who are tirthapad, if they are the devotees of the Lord, there is nothing is left over for them to damn. They have done everything what is needed. And so one must be, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur is just saying that Kita Janma Haut Yatha Tua Das, if I take a birth as a Kita, then I become your Das. Bahirmukha Jan Brahma Janme Nahi Ash. If I am not in front, like not Krishna conscious, I do not want to take birth as even Brahma. So there is so much glories of the Vaishnavas, we would not go into that Brahmana. Vaishnava's position is very, very high. And so we will continue reading this, the next verse, number 48. Yashmin yada pushkara nabha mayaya durantaya isprastadhiya prathak drishaha kurvanti tatra hi anukampaya krapam na sadhavo deva balatkrate kramam. So demigods, and including Lord Brahma, is praying to Lord Shiva in these verses. So these four verses is a prayer by the Lord Brahma, who is satisfying Lord Shiva, and that is the name of the topic, and that's why I put it all these four verses that I am reading today. So, my dear Lord, if in some places materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Godhead, illusory energy that is called Maya, which is very temporary and just glittering but has no substance. So illusory energy of the Supreme Godhead sometimes commit offenses. Offenses a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously. But saintly persons, even they create offenses, but saintly person does not take it very seriously to the offenses of the materialistic people. Knowing that they commit offenses because they are overpowered by the illusory energy, he does not show his prowess to counteract them. So it is said that a beauty of a tapasvi or saintly person is forgiveness. There are many instances in the spiritual history of the world in which many saintly persons, although unnecessarily harassed, did not take action, although they could have done so. Like Parikshit Maharaj's example, that he was unnecessarily cursed by a Brahmin boy and Sanghi. And this was very much regretted by the boy's father, Shamik Rishi. But Parikshit Maharaj accepted the curse and agreed to die within a week, as the Brahmin boy desired. Parikshit Maharaj was the emperor and was in full power both spiritually and materially, but out of compassion and out of respect for the Brahmana community, he did not counteract the action of the Brahmana boy, but agreed to die within 7 days. Because it was desired by Krishna that Parikshit Maharaj agreed to the punishment so that the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam would thus be revealed to the world, Parikshit Maharaj was advised not to take action. A Vaishnava is personally tolerant for the benefit of others. When he does not show the prowess, this does not mean that he is lacking in his strength. Rather, it indicates that he is tolerant for the welfare of the entire human society. So that is the third verse. And the last verse that we wanted to read means, Vaishnava, do not take personally any offenses that has been created by the envious people. They forgive that and become very, very compassionate on him. It means they try to rectify him so he does not remain envious and take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So text number 49, Bhavastupunshah paramasya mayaya durantayas prastam iti samastadrak tayahatatma sanukarma chetah sanugraham kartum Yaharhasi Prabhu. My dear Lord, you are never bewildered by the formidable influence of the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya does not even come in front of them. Vilajyamana, she is always shy because she is giving the thankless task of keep bewildering the living being in the material world. So she is always afraid to come. She is always on the back. She is like a shadow, this Maya. So that is the illusory energy. So therefore, you are omniscient and should be merciful and compassionate towards those who are bewildered by the same illusory energy and are very much attached to fruitive activity. So you please be merciful on those people or be compassionate on those, just like the Daksha. So they are praying on behalf of Daksha and all the other demigods and rishis who were on this, that assembly. So a Vaishnava is never bewildered by the influence of the external energy. So there are three energies, main energies of the Lord. External energy, that is the material world or Maya, even including our own body is the external energy. Subtle body, grass body, karan body, they are all part of Maya because it is not we, it is separate. And internal energy is in the spiritual kingdom, Krishna's expansions, Krishna's devotees, Nitya, Mukta Jiva, they are also part of the who lives and reside in the spiritual kingdom are acting on behalf of Krishna in the material world to free. They are also free from Maya. So, and then the third energy is this Jiva Tattva. So Jiva, spiritual energy or internal energy and external energy. These are the three main Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate Svabhavati Jnana Balat Kriyache. Vaishnava is never disturbed or influenced by the external energy and is engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, Devihi esha gunamayi mama maya durataya mama eva ye prapadyante maya metantaravite. My divine energy consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. A Vaishnava should take care of those who are bewildered by this maya and instead of becoming angry with them, because without a Vaishnava's mercy, they have no way to get out of the clutches of the maya. Those who have been condemned by maya are rescued by the mercy of the devotees. This is very important part, that without shelter, taking shelter of a Vaishnava, one cannot get out by his own means. Whatever he may do, he may become a very literate or may read Bhagavatam or all the scriptures, but there has to be a mercy of a pure Vaishnava, and then only one can read. Krishna se tumar Krishna dite par tumara shakti aache. That Krishna is like something is in their pocket. Krishna is sitting in their heart. They could give it to others. But just by your own sadhana, by your own practice, by your own sacrifice, by your own whatever your tolerance, one cannot obtain the lotus feet of Krishna without the mercy of Krishna. So one has to surrender not only to Krishna but also to a pure Vaishnava. वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They are just like desire trees who can fulfill the desires of everyone, and they are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Those who are under the influence of the illusory energy are attracted to the fruitive activity, but a Vaishnava preacher attracts their hearts to the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So that is the duty of a Vaishnava preacher, to go out of their way and attract the hearts of the others so that they could also surrender and they could be free. So we think of, like if we take to this principle seriously, preach them, gradually and gradually so many people would come. Srila Prabhupada was alone, but when he came, he, because of his, out of his compassion, and he gave Krishna bhakti, so, so many people, and now millions of people have joined in feeling relief from this tapatraya, from this relief, from this suffering into the material world. At least they know that their aim is that their goal is right, and they will be able to go back home, back to Godhead. Even if they have to take many other births, does not matter, but their emancipation is guaranteed. They will take birth in a human form and they will continue where they left. So Prabhupada has sown the seeds in such a way that it will grow and go all the way and give the fruits at the lotus feet of the Lord in the spiritual kingdom. So it's a very nice process, very sublime process. There is no confusion, very straight path. It's like a Sputnik, you are going with the speed of rocket, not just like a ordinary elevator, not like Karma Kand and Gyan Kand and remain in the material world. That is all for enjoying. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakalya Shant Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ateva Shant. That Bhukti means this fruitive activity, that is Bhukti. Mukti means liberation and try to become in the Siddha Loka or merge in the Brahma Jyoti. Siddhi means Anima Mahima, to get all this. And Kami, one who desires like so many desires. Sakalya Shant, they are all Ashant because they have so many material desires. But Krishna Bhakta is Nishkam, he is just like a lake which is not disturbed by so many waves. It is just remains steady at the lotus feet of Krishna. And so their mind is absorbed on Krishna, they think of Krishna, and any activity that is happening in the material world, that is also, they take, it is Krishna's desire, it is happening, and let me help people who are fallen or conditioned, and they want to elevate them, and that is their only duty, and that's what Krishna has given all the Vaishnavas the service, to do this job on behalf of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is predicted that Pratvitya Ateya Chen Agradigram Sarvatar Prachar Hoibe Morna, and my name would be predicted. So he wants us to take the, he is giving us this, he is telling Arjun that Bhavya Savya Sachin, that you become an instrument for me. So we are all instrument, part of Krishna, and we should become an instrument for Krishna, because Krishna suffers by seeing his own jiva soul, his own children suffering in the material world. He wants to bring them back to his own lotus feet and enjoy with him. So we could also enjoy by bringing those So we have to become a nimitta. Nimitta means we should just, although work is done by Krishna, but he sees our desire and he gives you the credit, that you take this credit, that you have saved this. Like Prabhupada has done, he never took the credit himself, although he has done so much. He gave to his guru. His guru gave to his guru. In that way, it is ultimately Krishna's mercy. But it is flowing through the disciplic chain, disciplic line of succession, the pure Vaishnavas. So that is the disciplic line that we follow from Krishna to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all the other Goswamis. And beautifully they have put everything in such a way that everybody can understand for Kali Yuga people. Thank you so much. I will end here and we can discuss this Lord Shiva's qualities and how he is compared with Krishna, that he is practically the same, and why this all is happening, why the demigods, they went to Lord Shiva's abode and glorified him and pacified him. And Shiva is Ashutosh, he becomes very easily happy. And then he connected the head of a goat to the body of the Daksha, and they became alive again. Then Daksha Prajapati again took birth later on. Anyways, then they completed the yajna because of the prayers by Brahmaji and all the demigods. And we should always pray also. So please unmute now.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Sanatana.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So nice, Prabhu. It's a very nice description. Prabhuji, I have one question. You're telling us that Daksha, because Daksha and Asamila is the example you gave. And now, can you explain more about why Daksha got this situation and Asamila got liberation? Even though he was very sinful, but Daksha actually he was a pious person and he was devotee also.
Okay, there is a big difference in Daksha. Daksha was for namesake, he was Prajapati. He was Daksha, means expert in progenation. And so that is fine, and he was doing yajna, which is a karma kand. But Ajamil was a pure devotee in the beginning of his life. Up to the young age, he was a devotee, he was engaged in devotional service, and later on he got, because of the wrong association, that he fell down, he did all the sinful activity, but again by the mercy of the devotees, he gave the name his son, Narayan, he spoke the name of Narayan. But Daksha was a Vaishnava Pradhi. He was a blasphemer of Lord Shiva, the topmost Vaishnava, that he blasphemed him, he was envious of the Lord. Those envious and those mentality was not there in Ajamil. So Ajamil in that respect, far superior, being a Vaishnava, falling down, that could happen because of the previous some attraction or some attachment or whatever it may be. Apichet sudhuracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag. He was an ananya bhag, but he, because of his conditioning, he fell down temporarily. But then he was lifted and ultimately went back home, back to Godhead. Daksha took long time to be free from all this envious mentality. He took birth again and many things that you will read in Bhagavatam. So Daksha and this position is completely different. But now here the Brahmaji is praying that that Ajamil, who was so sinful, is just giving example for us, that he, for a Krishna or devotees, whether it is, they don't differentiate, they don't become envious. They forgive everybody and become compassionate. So they are praying to him. It is a way of prayer, kaimuktik nyay, that you live freed Ajamil kind of, and not to Daksha, so please free him also. But it is not true, or it is not that Daksha was higher than Ajamil. Ajamil, although outwardly he was very sinful, but inwardly he was a devotee, that he did devotional service, which never gets lost. But we don't see that Daksha was a pure devotee from beginning of his life. Getting material position, material post, doing certain wonderful work does not make one a devotee. A devotee is very kind-hearted. They only see Krishna. They don't see all these other activities. So, at least I have not come across that Daksha was a devotee in his any life in the material world. But yes, Ajamil was. Okay,
thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah, it's very clear. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Is
there any question or comment from other devotees? They can give it.
Sure. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
So it seems like those who were favored by a devotee, they achieve their perfection. And, those who showed their envy towards the devotee, their ultimate perfection is blocked for some time or long time.
Right. Yeah, very correctly said.
But still, whenever Krishna appears, oftentimes it is said that and you brought the point that even Krishna's punishment is also a reward.
Benediction.
And it ultimately culminates into the same perfection. They also attain their supreme destination. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam
describes.
Especially in relation to Krishna, I want you to explain in Srimad Bhagavatam this Siddhanta is given. We had discussion few days ago, but somehow devotee didn't want to discuss it. So I want you to discuss it. It's described in the 90th chapter of 10th Canto. Shukadeva Goswami describes that the Tirtham Chakre Nipponam Yadajani Yadushu Pad Shaucham. Then the second line says Vidvit Snigdho Swarupam Yayur. Those who were inimical to Krishna and those who were loving Krishna both attained Swarupa. So what is the attainment of Swarupa? Because the discussion then happened that those who get killed by Krishna, they get impersonal liberation, because impersonal liberation is condemned in our philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Shukadeva Goswami says that even those who were inimical to Krishna, you know, they attain Swarupa. Our acharyas describe that attaining Swarupa means anything but the impersonal liberation. They also attain some swarup. Swarup means sarupya mukti, not sayujya mukti. Could you elaborate?
Okay. Now it's a nice question, and you may know, but for sake of everybody else, see, swarup means we establish in our original position a servant of Krishna. Means there is a separation between to be served and the server, and to be one who to be served. So that difference, unless that differentiation is there, both are separate. One who is serving and the person to be served. One who is a lover and the one who is to be loved. These two are separate parts. So this lover and be loved is always, one cannot just merge. In this, this Ayuji Mukti means you just become, there is no differentiation between lover and be loved. Means beloved and lover remains one. But that is never one. Just like one who is tasting a sugar, so sugar cannot taste itself. There has to be somebody who is relishing the sugar, or one who is serving, and then the sugar itself. The Krishna sweetness, and one who is relishing the sweetness. These two are different. One is a server and one is a so servitude or server and be served. These two are always different. But in Sayuji Mukti, but still when they say that Swarup, means they are, when they get in close, they have already free from material entanglement. Three kinds of misery is Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik, Adhyatmik. Don't touch those people who are beyond into the, in the like Siddhipatha or Siddha Loka, or who are in the flying in the spiritual sky or in the Brahma Jyoti. They may not have obtained their Swarup, but at least they are free from material entanglement. They don't have attachment to the matter to enjoy the fruits of their result, but when they come in contact with a Vaishnava, then they change easily. You may say that it's like a nark because we are not in our original position, but still it is much higher, this Brahmananda. That is the stage of Brahmananda, means you are in the Brahma Jyoti. So that stage is far above the material activity. Although it is not in the Swarup, but it is definitely higher. They enjoy, they don't have, but they fall down also. But once they fall down, they come to the material world, they may do some philanthropic activity, but they will come in contact with Vaishnavas because they would not like all this material entanglement. So they will become a devotee ultimately. Nobody is condemned forever. So it is one of the path, impersonal merging and then becoming a personal. These both are described in like this 12th chapter initially, that it is although a difficult path, but that is also part of this Brahma Jyoti is also part of Krishna. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagwaniti Shabdate. So Vadanti Tattas Vidas Tattvam Tad Gyanam Advayam. So that is Brahmeti, they do remain in the Brahma Jyoti. It is not our ultimate really either origin or ultimate goal, but because they are in the place, so that's why some place it may be said that they are in their Swarup. But we are not in our Swarup, but they are more easily, it's like a springing board from which you can jump easily. Like when you are diving, if you are in a spring board, then you could dive much more easily than by yourself. So it is like it is beyond like you may say different material modes. They are still behind, I would say, beyond the material mode. Although, from a spiritual point of view, it is a hair, or it is a very, very grande, or very, very low in the spirituality, in the realm of spirituality, if you go, realizing Brahma Jyoti, realizing Paramatma, and realizing Krishna, this is a very different level. But nonetheless, they are on that path. And one is on a path, like, you may not have taken, but even Sankalpa Viliya, if you take that, yes, I will do pure, then just like a mango, you are seeing, it is also eating. If you are touching, that is also. If you are making a slice, and then you could peel it off and offer to Krishna and eat. So that is all process of eating. So in same way, this may not be a real swarup of in service to Krishna, but still it is a step towards Krishna. Like one goes to the medical school, they are called doctor, although they have not even done any even 1 year or even first day, but people call them doctor. In that way, one can say that he is obtained his Swarup. So that's what I can explain, Maharaj. But
thank you very much, Swami.
Thank you.
Yep, the impersonal liberation, even this aspiration, Srimad Bhagavatam describes it. It's the limit of mode of goodness only. It is not transcendental.
That's not transcendental.
Because Krishna says, Mam chaya avyabhicharena bhakti yogena seva. When a person becomes fortunate to come in touch with a devotee and he becomes attracted to a devotional process, then some sagunan, some tipteitan, and same thing Krishna describes Uddhavji. He says, Kaivalyam Sattvikam Jnanam. This Kaivalya liberation.
Is a Sattvikam.
Mahavir ban jate hain, koi Siddh ho jate hain, Siddh log. This is the limit or fall of Kaivalya Sattvikam Jnanam. Sattvikam Jnana holds the person back because he thinks the Sattvik Jnana is Kaivalya. Merging is the ultimate, and it just deprives him to attain that transcendence. from a material platform, because the freedom from mode of ignorance and passion, it is so tempting, and people think that those who are free from mode of passion ignorance, they are like godly. They are, what else is there? Because people comparatively, we think that who is above anger and all these things, so they are like ultimate thing. Krishna says kaivalyam, even this absorption in the kaivalya gyan, that I am Brahma, I am Brahmasmi, I am Brahmasmi, I am the soul, and the thing there is only one soul. So you have realized that you are soul, then you have become God. But this concept is Krishna describing only in Sattva Guna. Then he describes what is transcendent. He says, kaivalyam sattvikam jnanam rajo vaikalpikam chyat prakritam tamasam jnanam mannishtam nirgunam smitam. So unless one becomes absorbed, mannishtam means he becomes a devotee of Krishna, he cannot be considered nirguna. Often times on the platform of jnana, people say, oh, they have attained nirguna mukti or something like that. Krishna says, no. The impersonal is only within the mode of goodness. Because when mode of goodness, what is a simple definition of mode of goodness? Simply freedom from mode of passion and ignorance, apparently. Because there are only three modes. So one who is freedom himself from mode of passion and ignorance, he becomes so quiet and everything is so attractive. The way he doesn't involve himself with this material modes of passion and ignorance. But still, it is not enough. The question I asked you, Prabhuji, was that Shukadeva Goswami is describing the speciality of Krishna's incarnation. That Krishna, how Krishna's manifestation on earth stands out. That those who were envious to him and stood in front of him in battle or anything, they attain also Swarup. Like, we don't see any example in Srimad Bhagavatam Puranas that anybody who got killed by Krishna and got impersonal liberation, they all attain Swarup. Even we know that they played the role, some kind of role in Krishna, they were eternal associates of the Lord. But there is no instance where anybody attained impersonal liberation by getting killed by Krishna, or those who became envious of Krishna in thought, or anything, they all attain Swarupa. That was a speciality Shukadeva Goswami is describing.
No, just like what I feel, that Shishupal was killed by Krishna. So his Brahmajyoti or Aghasur was killed. In the Brahmajyoti, that from his body, effulgence came, that is, and then it merged and to the lotus feet of the Lord. But ultimately, they will get, everybody would get to the Swarup, but initially there may be an impersonal liberation, initial stage, just when they were immediately killed. But by gradually taking and seeing the mercy of the Lord, they all develop further and go back to the spiritual kingdom in their own Swarup of serving the Supreme Lord. So anyway, it's not that they don't get impersonal liberation. The demons, that was the question Sukhdeva Goswami asked, that how come it is that he got this kind of, he was so envious. But anything done by Krishna for anybody, whether he's killing or he's blessing, that was the topic of this our talk today, that Brahmaji was praying to the Lord that you are killing and you are saving them or you are protecting them is on the same level, because ultimately they do get. So Swarup means, that's what I was discussing, that all that not that they don't get Brahma Jyoti or they don't merge. It is an impersonal liberation in the beginning. Later on they do get their Swarup, but that is a process afterwards. But initially, whether it is Shushupal or Agasur or Bakasur, they do get their. Putna was something different. Putna's level, because she desired to feed as a Bali Maharaj's daughter, Ratnavali, she wanted to feed the Lord. So she had some direct relation to serve the Lord by feeding him. So she got that direct mukti, but others did not. They did receive impersonal liberation. These are very high topics, but if somebody may have common questions, we can discuss those parts more. So
you are absolutely right, Prabhu. You are absolutely right. The point was regarding like just like Putana. she also had to be killed before she got her perfection.
Okay. So anyone else has any comments, questions? So we can discuss for benefit of everybody.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for nice class, very nice class. I have one question. As we have been discussing that we should not commit Vaishnava Prad and like it is very detrimental. So sometimes conditions or situations are that if somebody who is like senior to us, he's like telling us about some other senior and we are in the precarious condition that what to do. Means in that condition we cannot stop that senior to say something about other senior. And on the other hand, we cannot hear as well because this is also Vaishnava Prat to hear something about other. So how to handle such situations?
It's a difficult situation, as you are saying, that if you are somebody is telling you and you hear that, but then maybe one could get excuse for some work that I have to go. Please, if you see that the topic is changing and it is some blaspheming someone or unnecessarily putting someone down, that is not our status. If it's possible, then you should or you should block your mind if you can. Or go away from that by some excuse or some plea. You should not be listening. It will unnecessarily, this person's position in our mind would come down. Then you should start chanting in the mind. If you cannot move, go out, then just chant. Don't pay attention to what somebody is saying. And so whatever the way that you could or let, you should try really not to listen to this blasphemy.
Because in that condition, we cannot stop that person.
Right. And you cannot get out also. So in a practical way, you could just chant in your mind that please forgive me, I'm in this situation, and just in the mind you just go on chanting, because mind could be only at one place. It cannot be at two places together at the same time. So if you are chanting in the mind, and then you won't be able to listen what is somebody saying. Jaise kehte na ki mind block ho gaya.
Yes.
So you could block your mind from that listening.
Yes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Shyama Gauri Mathur.
Prabhuji, all these verses you read, it's like Brahmaji is giving knowledge. So who is talking to me?
So how? I cannot hear very clearly. Maybe if others can mute. Please repeat your comments or question.
My question is, Brahmaji is talking all these verses. So he is giving knowledge to Daksha Prajapati?
No, Daksha Prajapati is already dead. His head has been chopped out. Brahmaji is praying to Lord Shiva for his mercy, that how the Supreme Lord and his Vaishnavas are so compassionate, so kind, so he should forgive. Daksha means bring him back on life and give... And so he could perform, the demigods could perform their yajna. So whole purpose of this entourage to go to Kailash and pray to Lord Shiva, that is also a method that he is teaching Brahmaji to us. He is our leader of the society, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. But this Madhva is not Madhvendra Puri, not Madhvachari. So he is teaching us that if you blaspheme, then you should go to their lotus feet, pray to them, glorify them and get pardon from them. And that's why all these people are gone there, to show us the example of a what you should do when you commit some offense to that particular person whose lotus feet you have performed the offenses. And that's what we are learning, how to do it. You're welcome. So anyone has any other discussions or any topics to talk about?
Yeah, thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. I think it's very enlightening and very useful information.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and joining. I was in the morning, and tomorrow also I will call you with the conference number.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice discussion in class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Kamodaji Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, if there is no person in the comment, we can see our answers. This is great.